Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
Hello, and welcome to you all for the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at tech. Let's Talk Letts is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rented sector. Today's podcast is a little different to our usual pods, but it's something that's going to become a regular feature for us. We try to bring informative and valuable content for letting agencies and landlords through our pod, but our listeners tell us they'd also really like to hear more about people's personal career stories across the lettings arena, their journey, and maybe the moments in their lives and careers that have been the most impactful and have taught them the most. So today, in our very first My Life in Lettings themed episode of Let's Talk Letts, I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah Bush, who is a director of the residential division at Cheffins, a brilliant agency based in the southeast. Now, I was going to tell you a little bit about Sarah, and then I'm going to obviously let her provide a whole load more information about her career to date. Sarah is Cambridge born and bred and has over 25 years experience in the Cambridgeshire marketplace, having worked for and with many industry names, including the Leaders Romans Group, Ambassador Property Management and JSM. Sarah is a trusted name with landlords in the area who value her business acumen and dedication to achieving results for them. In 2016, Sarah joined the highly successful Cambridgeshire firm Cheffins as head of lettings to continue her passion of providing a high level of customer service and her overriding passion for the job. And this was rewarded back in 2019 to her promotion to Director of Lettings, where she now sits on the board. So after that long introduction, Sarah, let's get started. Thank you so much for joining us today, and tell us a little bit more about you.
I'm not sure as much more I can add, Heidi. Fantastic introduction. So as you said, I've obviously been in the industry, unfortunately. It's actually nearly 30 years. Wow. So I'd started when I was actually 18, and I unfortunately fell into the industry. I didn't actually join as somebody that wanted to work in residential market. I actually started my life when I left college as a person that wanted to go into hotels and hotel management. That lasted, after I got my diploma, less than a year. I found the unsociable hours, is the only way I can put it, quite challenging. So I walked into the owner of the hotel's office one day and mentioned I probably didn't want to do this job anymore. Mr. Bradford, who owned the University Arms Hotel, which is well known in Cambridge, asked me to get my coat. So I thought he was actually kicking me off the premises. What he actually did was walked me down Regent Street and into Downing Street in Cambridge and into a Black Horse Agency's Januaries. It was the Januaries group the day I walked through the door, but they, as many people in Cambridge know, got purchased a few times in my career. He walked me and introduced me to the owner of that business and suggested that I wanted to be an estate agent. There were a few words I gave him at that point, which I'm sure we won't broadcast, but it wasn't something I wanted to do. I didn't have a passion to do, but it has become my passion because from that day onwards, and I have to thank Mr. Bradford for it, I've loved every moment of it. I started my career off in sales, but very quickly realised that sales is great, but I like people. I like dealing with people and longevity with people. Sales, you have that ability to deal with people for maybe 6 months. And going back to the late 80s, early 90s, and we used to get sales through sometimes in a couple of months. So to me, I didn't have that longevity with clients, whereas lettings always seem to build that passion and that interest with individuals like landlords and clients. So I very quickly after that went into lettings.
So I suppose if we think back then, like, you know, you said your career nearly spans nearly 30 years. Lettings then to lettings now is obviously like ballooned, hasn't it? Like lettings then was actually probably tiny in comparison to the sales market because it was all about everybody needing to own their own home.
It was. And lettings was like the poor partner of any agency that, you know, was out there at the time. And plus our estate our agreements for ASTs used to be, well, they were sure tenancies back in those days, and you could write them on one page of an A4. So legislation wasn't around as much, assured tenancies, and that's where the building came in, because as soon as you got a tenant into a property, those tenants would stay for many years. I mean, with check-ins at the moment, I've got a tenant that's been in the same property for 50 years. So they went into the properties for longevity. You had the chance to build relationships. But yes, lettings has changed drastically.
Excellent. So obviously we talked about Mr. Bradford, going back to the kind of early parts of your career. But tell me kind of who influenced your kind of early years, because obviously to stay in it for so long, you're clearly a passionate person. You've clearly got a huge amount of drive yourself, but there's also people that kind of help you along that journey and push you along the way. Talk to me about those and maybe some of the like real pivotal moments in that journey.
The first person I would say that I worked with that really drove me to do what I'm doing today was a gentleman called Jeremy Miller. He was actually related to the January partnership. He specialised in sales, thought I was mad that I had a passion for lettings in those early days. But he was a very strong leader. He taught me, if I'm honest, to be the strong character that I can be today. We all know that the industry can be very difficult. It's anything to do with housing. People are very passionate about, you know, you get a vendor, they want the sale through quickly. One tenant wants to move in quickly. It's demanding. He gave me the backbone, I think, to be in the industry. He taught me skills of how to deal with difficult clients and how to be passionate about it. From him, I then went to, I suppose, my first experience in lettings was with a couple of gentlemen that owned a company called Accent Property Management, Stephen Chard and Neil Robinson. I'm still very good friends with them today. They gave me the passion for lettings that will never go away. They dealt with what I call the high end of lettings, but they bought what was really seen more in London to the Cambridge marketplace. Strangest story with those was that they had offices to start with. They started off as very small in a house that they obviously rented. As they grew, they then moved into a very substantial building in Cambridge, which we had a lock on the door. And nobody could get in and register or ask anything until they were buzzed in. They ran two or three companies from the building, so it made sense. What they brought back to the lettings market was about people being treated as individuals to wanting a home and not as second-class citizens wanting a lettings property. And as you said, Heidi, it's always been this myth that you should always aspire to own your own home. Now, they wanted people to feel that when they wanted to rent a property, that was a good thing, not a second class thing. So we actually opened it up with an art gallery, and we had a lot of expensive art on the walls. So these people would come in, they would sit down, they would register with us. We only ever were allowed to have on our books top end properties. Now, they could be studios. It didn't come down to value, but it meant that landlords gave the best quality property. Everything was safe. Everything met legislation as it started to come in. And the landlords were passionate about keeping a tenant in their property. That was what gave me my passion that I have today, because to me, that is what we should be giving to the industry. We should be giving high quality properties that, yes, do provide an income for a landlord, but also provide a home for a tenant.
Absolutely. Especially now, because I know going back into the early days of lettings, people were in it for, you know, typically in their home for a long time. We then transitioned to it being a lot more transactional and, you know, in and out, I guess. And now we're transitioning back again, aren't we, really, where actually financially, I watched a program and it showed financially, even for somebody, at different points over the last, I think it went back about 50 years, when it was actually more beneficial to rent rather than own. And actually, it's 50-50, really. Half the time, we're actually better to rent a property than we would be to own one in terms of making kind of sound financial decisions.
I think it's difficult in the lettings market because I was lucky enough in my early days to cover a wider area. I mean, I cover a wide area now with the five offices that we have at Cheffins. However, they're really in a 25-mile radius of each other. So the market conditions don't change drastically. Whereas in my previous role, I worked in a wider area that covered like a nearly a 75 mile radius. So I feel sometimes that what works in one place obviously doesn't work in another. So at the moment, I would say that Cambridge has always been a transient marketplace. So what we have found in Cambridge is that people don't want to buy if they're coming to work for very high tech firms like we have AstraZeneca, we've got Adam Brooks Hospital, Papworth Hospital, leading heart surgeons. They come on rotation. We have a lot of visiting academics that are coming over to be with Cambridge University. They're not here for longevity. They're here for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't make sense for them to buy a property when the sales market at the moment is kind of fluxing, you know, and not sure where it's going. Yes, great if they can make a profit in 3 years, but if there's an uncertainty, most will just want to rent. Plus, they don't have the time to do maintenance or, you know, look after the property themselves if they're only going to be there for, you know, a few hours an evening and maybe at a weekend. So renting is very strong in Cambridge for that reason. It has been for many, many years. Whereas another office that I have is Ely, more of a, again, is starting to become very popular because of the rail links. But again, they have, this is where we have a tenant that's actually been on an assured tenancy. It's been there 50 years. So there is a huge mixture. So I don't think we can, you know, it's not easy to pigeonhole and say what the market's doing, but that's what makes it, for me, so rewarding and challenging that we have so many different people with so many different needs, and it's matching those landlords and those tenants together.
But I think it is, if you like people and you're interested in people and their livelihoods and their lives and everything that kind of goes on, and you like property, it's a fantastic kind of industry to get involved in, because actually it's hugely rewarding when somebody either needs a house or wants a house and you can obviously be the person to provide it to them. So if we kind of think back to your roles, what's been some of your kind of most favourite times or favourite roles that you've held, and why? Why is that? What are the special memories?
It's very difficult to pinpoint. I mean, my career spanned obviously nearly, well, 3 decades. It's got to a point now where what I love the most about it, and I think I've had that throughout my whole career, but in different ways, is actually dealing with people. And that can go across every spectrum, because it's not just about putting, you know, dealing with maybe a applicant or a landlord or a contractor. It's actually dealing with staff as well. And that's where my passion very much comes from, that whether it be right and wrong, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there will think I'm wrong in this, but I feel like if I would never ask a member of my staff or anybody to do something that I'm not prepared to do myself. And the great thing about the position I've got myself in now is that Cheffins are a fantastic company to work for, because we've got that brilliant edge on, we are larger than an independent, but we are, you know, not in the corporate world on the basis that there's 12 of us that sit around that top table. We're all fee earners. We're all working the roles that we are part of. We're proud of the company. And that means we can look after our staff really, really well. And I have the ability to then be with those staff doing the day job as well as the management. In previous roles, I've not been allowed to do that. And that's where the frustration of things has come in for me, because I think that you should, every good company starts with their staff and being able to be with them, guide them, help them, be the support and be the best they can be. Cheffins allows me to do that. So I travel around all 5 offices. I speak to every member of staff. I can work from every office. I can be that focal point. And if somebody wants something or they need help, I have got the autonomy to say, I can give you that, I can do that, or I can't, but let's see what we can do. That to me is important.
I think even go back to, I'll use Mr. Bradford again, because actually I think that's quite an inspirational moment, actually, when, or, you know, and it's a really unselfish move, isn't it? That if this individual isn't right for your business, but you can actually see something in them, and you want to kind of, you know, help them progress and see them somewhere else, that's a really honourable thing to do. And I know you mentioned other people that have kind of been pivotal in your career, but I guess now the tables have turned and you are now able to act as a mentor for others and, you know, really kind of, I suppose, help some people progress their career or I suppose just have a happier life, if nothing else. Because sometimes it's not about even staying in the industry, is it? It's actually about kind of finding the right things for them. So talk to me about somebody that really stands out in your mind that you've been able to kind of give a leg up to or help them along their way.
I think one very sad fact about me is I can just about remember every member of staff that I've worked with. Even the harsh ones where I've had to obviously let that member of staff go. I mean, obviously going back to the days when it was in the 90s when we went through an awful recession and I had to go around and close offices, which obviously was a job I'd never want to do again. But even those people, I'm still in touch with some of those people that I had to let go. And they're good friends. And some of them have chosen to stay in the industry and work for other very good companies. Some have come out of the industry and decided not to. But I think the most important thing for me is that making sure that everybody that I do work with is supported. And some the industry is not right for. Some people come into the industry. We have this kind of, they have a view of us as, you know, as a company or maybe as the industry as a whole. And it's not an easy industry to work in sometimes. And, you know, it's difficult. And to be able to, like Mr. Bradford did with me, be able to take that person and say, you know, you're a fantastic human being, you're hardworking, but this industry is not right. Let's work with you. Let's help you. And I've done that with a couple of people myself, and they've gone into different industries.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. You know, we're definitely a people industry, aren't we? Not just in terms of the customers that we serve, but also the people that we work with. Like, we're a relationship business.
Yes.
So let's kind of come on to that then, because you also met your husband at work.
I did.
That's a fairly kind of key career, like, well, not career moment, life moment, I suppose. Yep. Tell us about that. And are you both, is he in the industry still now? And
yes, I started work with my husband in 2007. And I worked with him for, I think it was about 5 years. Relationship, obviously you do spend a lot of time at work. I left and we worked together for just over a year. I moved on to my career and went to work with, as I say, the fantastic team at Accent at that point. And to this day, we then got back together again about a year later. So yes, he still runs his own company in the same town that I work in, Cambridge. He runs a sales and lettings business. So yes, we're in competition.
Yeah.
And my company are very trusting of me, that I'm obviously very, I keep everything quiet, but we are in competition. And I do get very upset if his company take any form of property or valuation or anything at all from Cheffins. So it makes for a great team, both home and work.
Absolutely. Oh, lovely. And what about then, I guess, although you probably can look back on your career and, you know, really favourably, actually, with some brilliant memories, there's obviously been some hard times as well, like along that journey and along the way. Anything that kind of stands out to you, if you could share it with us, that would be brilliant, because I'm sure some of our listeners are in the same position themselves where they're, you know, not everything's going to plan, let's just say.
I mean, there's been a lot of down times, and that's the honest truth. And I think our biggest one is legislation, and I do care. So I always want to try and get it right. Hand on heart, I don't always get it right, because change is something a lot of people can't deal with. And with every new piece of legislation that comes in, any change in the market conditions that comes in, as somebody in charge, you're the one that has to make those changes. And it is heartbreaking sometimes when you watch people around you struggling, trying to adapt to that, listening to calls that are coming into your team when they've got clients screaming at them down the phone and being abusive because they don't like what we've got to do, or we've had to serve a notice. You know, we are the middle person, and we can only do so much sometimes of guiding our landlords. And you know, it's in the press all the time at the moment about, you know, people being served notice for no reason. if only some of these politicians could come and spend a day with a lettings team and see really the stresses and strains they go through. I think it might be an eye opener for them. Life is not black and white. COVID was one of the hardest things for my team to go through. And I'm not the type of person to leave people in isolation, but to know that I couldn't get to those people, I couldn't put an arm around them and say, look, it's going to be okay. They're scared, you know, are we going to be okay? You know, businesses are struggling. And we were very lucky during that period. Cheffins is such a diverse company. We can sell tractors, we can sell paintings, we can, you know, sell farms, flats, rentals, commercial. We were lucky. We managed to pull together as a partnership and get all of our team through that. And I'm proud to say we lost no staff. But it was probably the lowest point of my career, knowing that my staff were mentally struggling, mentally not able to reach out and get the support and help, people being on their own, no family around them. And all I could do is talk to them on a phone. That pushed me to take a mental health course, and I'm now a mental health first aider, purely for that reason. And I really hope and pray we never have to go through something like that again.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple of things there that I just want to kind of come back on, because I think that they are really important things. Is you mentioned that, you know, change happens at all times in business, and also I think you're kind of alluding to as well, like about resilience, because actually we, you know, the more resilient we can be to market changes, people changes, legislation change, whatever it might be, is also really important.
It is. I don't think, to be honest, you would survive in this job very long if you were not resilient, if you weren't able to change on a regular basis. And the fact that people find it hard is natural. It's normal. It's something I would expect. In fact, anybody that doesn't find change hard, I would love them to come and work for me. But I would say that the best thing I've managed to really do with my staff is to make sure they have the tools to be resilient, make sure they know the support's there. They know how to get that support if they need it and the tools they require to do their job. Resilience is probably one of the strongest attributes that anybody could have in the role that we do.
Yeah, and obviously if we kind of look back over your time in the property industry and obviously the last 17 years or so in lettings, there's been obviously the ups and downs of the industry and the housing market in that time as well. We obviously saw back in kind of the 2008 recession, we saw homeowners decide to rent out their properties rather than sell at a loss. And that was one of the times that we saw obviously a huge growth in the letting sector. Sadly, we've entered a recession again. And although hopefully it definitely won't be as deep or as long as the one back in 2008, what do you envisage the impact to be and how is it going to change the industry again?
In 2008, we called these people accidental landlords. And they could be accidental landlords because they could pick up their furniture, they could move out, we could put in smoke detectors, etc., and their house was ready to rent out. And it saved a lot of people. You know, it didn't put them into debt, they didn't go into negative equity, they had an income coming in, and they could carry on their lives, because most people became accidental landlords because they had to move for a genuine reason, their family needed to move. My fear for this current one, if we are going to go into any deeper recession at the moment, again, that's different regionally, but at the moment, we are very lucky in the Cambridge area that I work in, that the market is still very strong. We still see a good amount of money coming into our economy. And we have a lot of good companies moving in for high tech, biomedics, et cetera, coming into Cambridge. My biggest fear for anybody, if we did start to go into a form of accidental landlords again, is that the legislation is so tough that they have got to spend money nowadays, quite a lot sometimes, having electrical safety reports done, making sure that everything conforms. That's money that some of these people may not have to be able to put their property into a position that is then legally correct to rent now could actually mean that they would end up losing their property or just selling at a loss. So that is my biggest fear. And of course, it has to be a balance. We don't want unsafe properties on the market. They have to be safe. But we also have to find that balance that we have a housing shortage at the moment. It's constantly in the news. There's not enough property around for people to either rent or purchase. And at the moment, with more legislation on the horizon, it feels that there's going to be even less property around. And all that's really doing is pushing the prices up in locations beyond people's ability to pay.
Yeah, there's just less options, I suppose. Easy options, maybe, is the better word. Less easy options available immediately for someone or available quickly. I understand that. So back to your life in lettings. For someone who is starting a career in lettings or in the property industry, what would your best advice be?
We've already touched on one of them, Heidi, and that is resilience. If you're the type of person that gets up in the morning and likes to not know fully what your day is going to be and you don't know what the next challenge is around the corner, then by all means, please send your CV to Cheffins. They're the kind of people we're after, purely because every day is different. We can all have an agenda. We can all sit without, you know, our emails and say, right, guys, we're off for the morning. After the morning meeting, we're starting our day. And within half an hour, I can guarantee you that agenda's out the window. There's, you know, there's a leak come in or somebody that wants to go and view a property and they're only here for 24 hours. We've got to arrange it. The day changes every 5 minutes. So being able to adapt to change, be resilient, enjoy a challenge, then lettings is for you, because the rest of it is easy to train. It's something that you can take a passion in, do like I did. You can take your, you know, your ALA exams. You can try and get yourself through the new Rightmove Sealer exam. I'm still trying. There's so much you can do. You can make it a career. If you're nosy, it's fantastic. You get to go through some fantastic house doors, flat doors. You see everything. And the great thing is you also get the smile on the face at the end of the day when you hand those keys over to somebody and let them move into their new home.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And that's a really inspiring and definitely uplifting session. I feel like energized listening to that. So, you know, I'm going to make some changes this afternoon. I don't know what they're going to be yet, but they're going to be something. But before you go, our regular listeners to Let's Talk Let's will always know that we end every podcast with a funny story or anecdote of something that's happened in your career, which I'm sure anybody that we have spoken to that has run a letting agency or has worked in letting seems to have like a till roll of actual examples. But have you got a good one for us today?
You're right. There's obviously the amount of time I've spent in the industry, I could give you lots, but we'll keep it to probably one. There's a development in Cambridge called the Belvedere. I was working for Accent Property at the time, and we were very lucky that it was a brand new development of about 137 units. It was the first development in Cambridge to be built, which had a concierge. It had a swimming pool, a gym. So it was very much looked at as the high end quality of letting. Of course, it went global. And we have also a lot of students come over from places like Dubai, Abu Dhabi. They're sponsored. They go to some very good colleges, and a lot of them go to ARU in Cambridge. And they've all, quite a lot of them have the name Prince or Princess in their names. So lovely people. However, quite a few of them started to turn up on our doorstep and wanting to rent these properties. And of course, landlords at the time, absolutely no to students, would not do it. So it became quite a challenge when we launched. We launched 40 units, including the penthouse, which was a two-story duplex. And at the time, quite a high rent for Cambridge. It's about £2,000. So we used to have all these people coming in, some of them were bodyguards, chauffeur driven cars and everything you could think of pulling up outside the door. And the bribes were quite high. And of course, we were made very clear, quite rightly, none of my staff, you can take bribes. So in the end, I had to sit at the front desk for about 3 weeks and turning all these away. And the best one I had was an albino camel. So I could have the ownership of this and they'd look after it for me. But could they move into the penthouse? And they'd also pay £3,500 a month if we allowed it, We explain to them it doesn't get around the fact it's not a student property, even though they turned up with a suitcase full of cash trying to get this to happen. In the end, it turned out that because we said no, behind the scenes, and I still can't quite get to the bottom of it, but we do believe this person did move into the penthouse because the dad bought it. So renting didn't take part at the end. Actually, when he moved in, he was a true prince and he did have armed bodyguards. And I was collecting a friend from the Belvedere, and I met this person coming down the stairs. And the next thing, he shouted at me, "Please don't move, Sarah." So I said, "Why?" He says, "Because there's a laser gun on the back of your head because you've approached me. So please don't move." And he had to give a signal to the actual marksman that he could not take me out because it was somebody that he knew. So, was probably the most interesting story I ever had.
And you never got the camel. You know, that's the thing. Like the camel.
No, one thing I'm very proud to say through my whole career. No, I've never taken anything to allow somebody to move into a property. So.
So for everybody else, to ensure you never miss an episode of Let's Talk Let's, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, and please leave us a review. And thank you very much to Sarah, and thank you all very much for listening.
Let's Talk Let's, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.